present Taxi, a week-by-week account of the trials and tribulations of a New York taxi driver.
Now, guys and dolls, you know, of course, a busman's holiday is when a bus driver or a conductor takes his holiday and he spends the vacation traveling around on a bus. Well, pretty much the same sort of thing happens to Myrtle Red and me. Because when we has a vacation or a day off, we gets into one of the cabs and we drives off into the country. Now, one of our favorite forms of relaxation on our days off is to leave the pollution of New York City and grab ourselves a day out at some quiet country spot. Yeah, I tries my hand at a little fishing, Red goes chasing butterflies, and Myrtle, well, Myrtle just relaxes. You see, she's usually pretty tired after preparing the lunch and then from carrying the lunch and the cold beers from the road to the shady spot. And tonight's McGilla, Guys and Broads, starts off on just one of these expeditions. The sun is shining, the boys are singing, the cab is loaded up with all kinds of good stuff to eat and liquid refreshment. We has the whole day off and all is right with the world. Okay, another 5 minutes, we'll be out of New York into the wide open spaces.
Do you remember to pack my butterfly net, Myrtle?
Sure, Red, I remembered.
And my ammonia jar? I hope you remember my ammonia jar.
No, I remembered your ammonia jar.
I'm glad, Myrtle, because supposing I catch a purple leopard today, I'll have to put it straight away into my ammonia jar. Because if I don't put it straight away into my ammonia jar, I might get damaged in transit.
No, I remembered your ammonia jar, Red.
Gee, thanks, Myrtle, because I has a feeling I'm going to catch a purple leopard today, and I don't want it to get damaged in transit.
Somebody I know is going to get damaged in transit if he don't shut up about the ammonia jar.
Sorry, Chuck, but I hate to go on a picnic without my ammonia jar. You can damage a lot of butterflies that way.
Oh, look, Jack, look at that gorgeous horse standing in that field.
Wow, what a beauty, honey. Must have been about 18 hands.
Where's the horse?
Oh, you missed it now. It was standing in a field about half a mile back.
Oh, what a pity. I never seen a horse with 18 hands. Horse with 4 feet often, but never with 18 hands.
Oh, boy.
I seen a boy with 6 fingers. He was in my class at school. Arnold Snicket was his name, and he used to play the flute. Very useful for playing the flute, having 6 fingers, I mean. He had no difficulty blocking up the hole so the air couldn't get out, because he always seemed to have 1 finger in his eye. He married a cello player last year. She didn't have 6 fingers, though, just Arnie. He had 6 fingers.
Hey, Myrtle, honey, you packed my rod, didn't you?
Yeah, Chuck, I packed your rod.
And the bait, Myrtle. Did you forget the bait?
No, I didn't forget the bait.
That's my girl. So what you get?
Limes. I dug them up this morning after I bought the ready-cooked chicken.
Hey, you didn't forget the beer, did you, Myrtle?
No, I got the beer after I dug up the limes.
You ain't well organized, honey.
How'd you mean, Chuck?
Look, you should have got the beer and the chickens at the same time. That way you'd have saved yourself a trip.
What are these days, Chuck Edwards? I'm going to let you organize your own picnic. You can collect the chickens and the hot dogs and the bread and the butter and the salt and the pepper and tomatoes and the cheese and your rod and your base and Red Butterfly Ned and his ammonia jar.
Hey, Myrtle, you didn't forget the mustard, did you?
As a matter of fact, I did.
Oh, Myrtle, a picnic ain't no picnic without mustard.
Well, what are you going to do about it, then?
Ain't no point in going back. We's almost there. Just have to do without it. It's a pity, though. Hot dogs without mustard is like a king without a crown.
Or a dog without a tail.
Yeah, or a butt without a rudder.
Or Chuck Edwards without a fiancé.
Hey, that's good, Myrtle. A hot dog without mustard is like Chuck Edwards without a fiancé. Oh, I see what you're getting at. Hey, you ain't serious, are you?
No, but I will be if you don't stop criticizing.
We ain't criticizing, is we, Red?
No, we wouldn't criticize you, Myrtle. Never. Pity there ain't no mustard, though, ain't.
Will you forget the mustard, Red? We's going to have a swell time, mustard or no mustard.
There, you've mentioned it again.
Yep. Sorry, honey, but you ain't never forgotten it before.
It's never taken so long to dig up the wimes. The ground is rock hard. It hasn't rained for weeks. And the wimes is much easier to find after it's rained.
Yeah, I noticed that. Sometimes after it's rained, all the wime comes up to the surface and starts moving around on the top of the grass. You don't have to dig at all. Just pick them up. I wonder why wimes come up to the surface after it's rained.
I don't know. I've never given it much thought.
You know what I think it is, don't you?
I has not the faintest idea.
I think wimes come up to the surface after it's rained because wimes live in holes, don't they?
Well, what of it?
Myrtle, it is obvious. After it's rained, the wimes' holes get full of water. Because that is what rain is, ain't it? Water. Now the poor old wime sitting in his hole don't want to drown, does it? So what does it do? It comes to the surface. Simple. Kowalski's theorem of wimes coming to the surface after rain. Now, butterflies, they only fly when it is sunny. I have a theorem on that, too.
Red.
Yes, Chuck?
Shut up! We ain't got time for your theory on butterflies flying in the sun. Look, we're nearly there.
Okay, Chuck, I'll save it till later.
Oh, there's the oak tree where we parked the cab.
Yeah, didn't take long, did it, honey? Okay. All safe and sound. Now just a 2-mile walk to the pond. And there, Chuck Edwards, you was going to catch yourself a nice fat carp.
And I'm going to catch a purple emperor on the way.
Okay, I'll carry my rod and the worms.
And I'll carry my butterfly net and my ammonia jar.
Yeah, and as usual, I carry all the food and all the beers. Still, without the mustard, it shouldn't be quite so heavy.
Oh, boy, Red, what a beautiful spot, huh? Shouldn't take mighty long to catch up with us. Then we can open up some beers.
Yeah, chasing after the butterfly certainly gives one a taste. Hope she won't be long.
Ah, once Moira gets started, she don't stop. Takes her a bit of time to get loaded up, though.
I didn't catch much on the walk up here. 4 cabbage whites. Pretty common. Saw a purple emperor, but I wouldn't settle. Maybe I'll get it on the way back.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, I'll bait up my hook, throw out my line, and I can just sit back and relax and let the carp catch themselves.
Hey, how come, Chuck, we never see the fish you catch?
Because I throw them back.
What do you mean you slows them back? In all the time we've been coming here, I never seen you catch a single fish.
What about that monster I hooked a month back?
What monster?
The one that was so big it broke my line.
I reckon on that occasion you caught a rock.
A rock? Don't make me laugh.
Listen, whether I make you laugh or not, I still reckon it was a rock.
Look, a rock don't move, knucklehead. You can see this fish swimming all around the pond.
I didn't see it move. Looked pretty stationary to me.
I tell you, it was a carp.
I tell you, it was a rock.
Look. Here.
Oh.
Well, it's okay for you two lazy good-for-nothings. Just sit down and pass the time of day. I tell you, Shaper Smedley here is exhausted.
Ah, Moito, you have arrived. I told Red you wouldn't be long. Okay, open the beer, honey. I'm dying of thirst.
So am I. Chasing butterflies is thirsty work, Moito.
Well, carrying all the food and all the beer ain't exactly relaxing either. Open them yourselves, and one of you might as well give me one.
Okay, honey, okay. Hey, you didn't forget to open it, did you?
Hey, wouldn't it be funny if you brought the beer all the way here and then forgotten the opener like you did the mustard?
Yeah, hilarious. No, I didn't forget the opener. It's tied to the crate.
That's my honey. Anybody can forget the mustard, but you would never forget the opener, would you, honey? Oh, boy. Just what the doctor wanted on a warm spring day.
Boy, just what a thirsty butterfly catcher needs on a warm spring day.
Boy, has you two got bad manners?
Huh? Oh, sorry, my little honey. Here, come on, have a drink of mine.
No, don't do that. It's unhygienic. Here, I'll open you another.
Oh, thanks, Ray. Oh, that's better. Maybe I did forget the mustard, Jack Edwards. But I didn't forget the opener. I didn't forget the chicken. And I didn't forget the hot dogs. Nor your rod, nor your bait, nor the salt, nor the pepper, nor the knives in the box. And I haven't forgotten all the times we've been coming here. You haven't caught one single solitary fish, Chuck Edwards.
My God, honey, I threw them all back.
Threw them all back? Threw what back? You've never caught a fish.
That's what I said.
What about the monster I hooked that month back?
What monster?
That's what I said.
The one that was so big it broke my line.
I reckon on that occasion you caught a rock.
That's what I said.
Look, a rock don't move. You can see this one swimming around the pond.
That's what you said.
I didn't see it move. It looked pretty stationary to me.
And that's what I said.
I tell you it was a carp.
I tell you it was a rock. Right?
Oh, sorry, I forgot. That's what I said.
Okay, genius. If you're so clever, you catch a fish.
I did not come here to be insulted. I came to catch butterflies. And I did. I caught 4.
Oh, boy.
There they are in my ammonia jar. Only cabbage whites, but I caught 4 more butterflies than you caught fish. And while I'm about it, I'll show you how to catch fish. I won't bother with no rod, no worms. I'll catch them right here in my butterfly net.
Okay. You do just that.
Right, I will. Mytle?
Yeah, Red?
Hold my ammonia jar for me, will you?
Yeah, sure, Red.
And Mytle?
Yeah, Red.
You can have my butterfly collection if I don't get back.
Oh, thanks, Red. You know I'll always treasure it.
Nice to know it'll be in good hands. Well, here goes.
I'm drowning. You can't drown there, knucklehead. There's only 2 feet of water.
You want a bet?
Oh, stand up, Red. The water's only 2 feet deep.
Oh. Gee, so it is. Thanks, Myrtle.
Well, catch a few, and then you'll have beaten Chuck.
Right, I will. I caught quite a lot. I'll come out now.
Oh, well done, Red.
In all the times we've been coming here, Chuck Edwards, you have not caught one single fish.
Huh?
I, on the other hand, on my very first attempt, yes, my very first attempt, need I say more, have caught 6 or 7. Look.
Need I say more? They is not fish, Kowalski. Those enormous, shining, colossal monsters you has wriggling at the bottom of your butterfly net, let me tell you, is tadpoles.
Oh, I thought they was fish.
No, I'm afraid not, Red. They is tadpoles.
Oh. The big fisherman. Red has caught himself six little tadpoles. Now, most people would be very ashamed to have caught six such defenseless creatures. But not Red. Oh, no. No, Red is very proud that he has caught six little tadpoles. So he finds an empty beer bottle, he fills it up with pond water, and he puts his tadpoles in it. Then he gets some more bottles and fills them up with reeds and weeds growing in the pond. Now, you and me, guys and broads, we knows that tadpoles turns into frogs, or maybe even toads. But not Kowalski. Oh, no. He don't even know that caterpillars turns into butterflies. And Myrtle and me don't tell him, neither. So all unsuspecting, he takes them home in his beer bottles. And then one evening, oh, several weeks later, Red bites into the room.
Hey, Chuck, Handle, somebody stole my six tadpoles, left a little frog in their place.
Oh, you don't say.
I do. This morning, there were six fine, healthy tadpoles with not a worry in the world swimming around in my Aquarius. And now, somebody stole them and left a little undernourished frog. Who do you think stole them?
I have no idea, Red.
Must have been someone who hates frogs and likes tadpoles. Who do we know hates frogs likes tadpoles?
Listen, Red, nobody stole your tadpoles.
I tell you they did. Come and see for yourself. When I looked at my Aquarius this evening, there was my tadpoles gone. And only a solitary little frog swimming all by himself. Gee, must be lonely for him.
Now, don't feel sorry for him. Listen, Red, what happens to caterpillar when he gets very old?
It dies. You know, what's that going to do with my tadpoles being stolen?
Caterpillars don't die.
They don't? You mean they live forever? Gee, I'd like to be a caterpillar and live forever. Now, hold it. Wait a minute. You is lying, Myrtle Smithley.
No, I'm not. Caterpillars don't die.
They do. I trod on my last week. It died.
What Myrtle is trying to tell you, knucklehead, that if a caterpillar avoids being trodden on, it don't die because one day it turns into a beautiful butterfly.
Gee. Hey, you're kidding me, ain't you?
No, we ain't, Red. Caterpillars turn into butterflies.
Gee, ain't that wonderful? Fancy a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Gee.
Well, what's the matter, Red?
That caterpillar I squashed with my foot, he could have just been on the point of turning into a white labor.
Yeah, it certainly could.
I should have waited till it had turned into a butterfly and then killed it.
Huh?
Hey, what's all this got to do with somebody stealing my tadpoles?
Look, knucklehead, you ain't going to believe this, but in the same way as caterpillars turns into butterflies, tadpoles turns into frogs.
No kidding.
No kidding, Red.
Gee, my six tadpoles turned into a tiny little frog.
Well, look, not exactly. One of your tadpoles has turned into a tiny little frog.
What happened to the other four? Five.
Well, you're not going to like this, Red.
Tell me, Myrtle. I can take it.
Well, that tiny little frog you got ate him.
Gee, a cannibal frog. I'd better kill it. I had no idea I was harboring a killer frog.
Ah, don't hold that, Red. Listen, you see, in nature there is certain laws, and this is one of them. It is called the survival of the fittest.
And that little frog was the fittest.
Yeah.
Gee, what an athlete. Killed five of his brothers and sisters and eats them.
That is exactly what happened.
Hey, what's it going to feed on now? Now it's run out of brothers and sisters.
Well, flies, Red. You know, frogs is crazy about flies.
Flies?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you something, Moyle. I'll tell you something, Chuck. That little killer frog of mine is going to be the best-fed frog in the state of New York. Correction. The best-fed frog in the United States of New York.
Sure enough, guys and bros, Hybert, that's what Red called his tiny little frog. Hybert was the best-fed frog in the United States of America. But the only trouble was that little Hybert grows and grows and grows. He grows so much that there's no mistaking the fact that Hybert is in fact a huge, ginormous, monstrous bullfrog. So this is okay by us. We don't mind what kind of pets we has. But Hybert's appetite is monstrous, too. Michael Red and me, we spends all our time killing flies to feed him, and he ain't never satisfied. You see, guys and bros, Hybert being raised in captivity, he's never learned to catch flies for himself. Well, catching flies in summer is fair enough, but what was we going to do in winter when the flies ain't so easy to find? But every cloud has a silver lining, guys and bros, and Michael comes up with a plan.
Say, Chuck.
Yeah?
While Red's in his room feeding Hybert, I'd like to speak to you.
Sure, honey, as long as I don't have to go out and catch another 500 flies. Speak to me by all means.
Well, I've been thinking.
Well, I'm glad somebody has. I ain't had time with all this fly catching.
I've been thinking that we should return Hybert to nature.
Look, we've talked about this, honey. Red would never stand for it.
Well, I'm not thinking of Red. I'm thinking of Hybert.
Hybert, how do you mean?
Well, what sort of a life does Hybert have? Cooped up in this apartment all day.
What do you mean, cooped up all day? Red takes him for walks. We all does.
I know, honey, but it's not the same. You notice how Hybert keeps croaking all night?
Oh, don't tell me. I haven't had a good night's sleep for 3 weeks.
Well, I reckon he ain't croaking because he's hungry. I reckon he's croaking because he's lonely.
Hybert lonely? You couldn't have a more pampered pet.
I'm not saying he's not well looked after. And he's devoted to the three of us, I know. But what I think Hybert needs is not human company, but bullfrog company.
Okay, honey, where are we going to find him a female bullfrog? Besides, if we do find one, there'll be two frogs to feed. The one is bad enough.
Exactly. That's why I say we should return Hybert to nature.
Okay, okay. Okay, you may be right. Hybert may be lonely. But listen, Hybert wouldn't last a couple of days in the wild. He ain't learned how to kill flies for himself.
Well, we could teach him.
Get out of it. Teach a bullfrog to eat flies? Impossible. There's the language barrier for a start. You can't say, Hybert. Hybert, see that fly? Catch it. Ah, you can train dogs, but you can't train frogs. That's impossible.
It's not impossible, Chuck. It's not. I've been reading about this woman in Africa, and she had a tame lioness called, Elsa. Yeah, that's right. It was called Elsa.
So what about this lioness?
Well, Elsa being tame, she didn't know how to kill animals.
Well, of course she wouldn't have been tame if she killed animals.
Yeah, well, this lady in Africa reckoned that Elsa was lonely, too.
Uh-huh.
So she decided to return her to nature. But before she did, she had to teach her how to kill.
Hey, that's a hard business, huh? She could have learned and killed the lady in Africa.
Yeah, it was a tricky business, but after months of trial and error, she taught the lioness how to kill.
Oh, yeah, and then did the lady in Africa get killed by the lioness she taught to kill?
Oh, of course not. How could she have written the book if she had been?
Well, you see, hey, I never thought of that. Okay, so what happened?
So the lioness went and lived in the jungle, met a lion, and had some cute little cubs.
Hey, that's a swell story. I'd like to read that book sometime. And you reckon we should teach Hybert to kill so we can return him to nature?
Yeah, well, I think we should. We'll get Red to agree that we teach Hybert to kill first and not mention the return to nature bit until later.
Okay, honey, because he ain't going to be so keen to lose Hybert. I'll call him now. Hey, Red, can we speak to you for a moment?
Sure, Chuck. What do you want? I just fed Hybert 926 flies. They was delicious, wasn't they, Hybert? She says they was delicious. What do you want, Chuck?
Well, it's about Hybert. We'd like to speak to you about Hybert.
What about Hybert? Don't think he's sick, do you?
Hybert's not sick. In fact, I don't think I've seen such a healthy frog in my life.
You ain't sick, are you, Hybert? No, Hybert ain't sick. Hybert says he's fine.
Good. Now, listen, Red. Hybert is not a baby frog anymore. Hybert is now, he's an adult frog. And Michael and me was thinking it's about time Hybert stopped behaving like a baby frog and started feeding himself.
But I like feeding Hybert.
Yeah, I know you does, and so do we all. But have you ever stopped to think that Hybert may prefer to catch his own flies?
But he don't know how.
Well, of course he don't. But look, if we taught him how to catch flies, he'd enjoy his food more that way.
Gee, you got a point. I'll ask him.
Okay.
Hybert, would you prefer to catch your own flies? He's thinking it out. Would you prefer to catch your own flies, Hybert? That's settled, then. Chuck and Myrtle, we's gonna teach Hybert how to kill his own flies.
Nah, it's no good. He don't seem interested in flies that flies about. Only in the dead ones.
Have patience, Chuck. Have patience.
Yeah, have patience.
Look, we've been in Central Park 3 hours already. And when a fly settles on his nose, he don't even blink.
He'll catch one by mistake soon, just you see.
Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps Hybert's tired.
But that's a point. Is you tired, Hybert? That settles it. Let's go home. Hybert's tired.
Look, this is the 15th day we've been in Central Park, and Hybert is no nearer to catching flies.
Well, he seems to notice them now.
Have patience, Chuck. Have patience.
How much patience can a man have?
Say, is you tired, Hybert? That settles it. Let's go home. Hybert's tired.
Well,
28 days and still no progress.
Oh, he'll do it today, I know.
That's what you've been saying for the past week.
Have patience, Chuck, have patience.
That's what you've been saying for the last month.
There, he did it. Did you see that, Myrtle? He did it.
Yeah, I did. Hubert's tongue came out so fast, I nearly missed it.
I can see nothing.
Watch, you do it again. There, we caught another one, a great big blue bottle.
Oh, boy, so we did. Hubert, congratulations. You has now learned how to kill.
Yep. From now on, Hubert, you can fend for yourself. You know, I've been thinking. Well, ain't you going to say something rude, Chuck?
I thought of it. But seeing as how Hubert can now feed himself and we don't have to go around killing flies for him, I've changed my mind.
Oh. Well, I've been thinking that perhaps we better put Hubert back into the pond where I first caught him as a tiny tadpole.
Oh? Well, why, Red? Won't you miss him?
Yeah, sure I'll miss him, but I think it'll be best for Hubert.
Well, that's what Chuck and I thought, but we didn't know how to tell you.
You mean you didn't want to hide me?
Yeah, that's about it.
Gee, that's nice of you, but I've been thinking that as Hubert can now look after himself in the wilds, as it were, perhaps it's time he got married and settled down.
Yeah, the same could be said about someone else I know.
Yeah, I think that's very, very nice of you, Red. That means you've got Hubert's old interest at heart.
Maybe, though, Hubert will miss us.
Well, I'm sure he will, but every baby grows up and leaves the fold one day.
Yeah, but maybe he's not ready to leave the fold yet. I'll ask him. Do you want to go back to the pond where you was born, Hubert? He ain't answering. It's a tough one. Say, Hubert, if we visit your Sundays, would you like to go back to your pond? Right, next Sunday then, we'll return you to the wild.
Gee, that was some picnic, honey. But as the poet says, all good things come to an end. Okay, we better be getting back to New York City.
Are you sure Hubert will be all right?
Yeah, of course he will. He must have caught over 100 flies while we was having lunch. Okay, let's go.
So long, Hubert, old fella.
Yeah, goodbye, Hubert. Take care of yourself, won't you?
Be nice knowing you, Hubert.
Oh, there he goes, off to the pond. Funny, he seems almost as sad as us.
Hey, hold it a minute. There's another frog coming up from the pond to meet him. Hope they ain't gonna fight.
No, look, it's a smaller one than Hubert. Hey, that must be a lady frog.
There, they dived into the water together. And Hubert and his wife lived in the pond and raised lots of little tadpoles and lived happily ever after.
Very sad poison drives back to New York, guys, and broadside, I can tell you. Still, we soon recovers when we start thinking how happy Hubert and his new bride is going to be. But wait a minute, is they, though? Does frog wives nag their husbands? Yeah, I'll have to get Red to ask Hubert that someday. You know, we often goes back to the pond, and Hubert always stops by to say hello. His wife don't, though, because I think she's a bit shy. Red says he may try the experiment of raising bullfrogs again next year. Well, it wouldn't be so bad having one of Hubert's kids about the apartment. Hey, and something else, guys and broads. Hubert always shows me where the carp are in that pond, and I catches a 4-pounder every time. No fishing story, that's the truth.
Taxi is written and produced by Joe Stewartson, directed by David Goodman. George Carellin plays Chuck Edwards, Red is Tony Jay, and Myrtle is played by Pat Saunders.